Go Get the Realness 2 by Cormega in stores now, available on all streaming platforms. Also, go get The Realness 2 on vinyl at TuffKongRecords.com. The album features Nas, Lloyd Banks, and Havoc of Mobb Deep. Also, it features production from Street Runner, Harry Fraud, Havoc from Mobb Deep, Alchemist. Go get The Realness 2 by Cormega in stores now.
They call him Hunt, the wildfowl guy. They call him
Welcome to Rodus Live. I'm your host, Rodus. Today on Rodus Live, it's all about the battle. So we're going to get into hip hop in its purest form. We're taking it back to the essence. When one MC challenged another MC. We got a dope interview with Notion. That'll be a little bit later on in the show. But we got the Cannabis and LL Cool J battle. Anybody that doesn't know Cannabis or ever heard of Cannabis, Cannabis first appeared on the Lost Boys album. He had a stellar verse on the song. Then after that, he appeared on the Firm album on a track called Desperados with Nature and AZ. And he did his thing on the track. Then him and LL Cool J, they was on a posse cut together, and Cannabis felt some type of way about LL Cool J on the track. And then it resorted to the battle. So let's differentiate a beef and battle. So a beef, in my opinion, is, you know, when you see somebody, y'all throwing hands. But today, this beef, this battle, it wasn't like that. You know, they strictly kept it on wax. They sharpened their swords and they went at it. So today I'm gonna play the Cannabis and LL Cool J battle for y'all in its entirety. And I don't mean to disrespect the GOAT, LL Cool J, but he's been in hip hop for decades. He is a legend, and he's arguably the GOAT to most. So I'm going to just sum everything up. He's the first artist signed to Def Jam, all right? Besides Run DMC, he's the first artist signed to Def Jam. Let's get it. Cannabis versus LL Cool J, y'all.
Cannabis, man, what's up, man? I caught you on that cut with Wycliffe, man. You were booming, but I caught these foul, slouch-ass niggas, you know me, talking foul about you the other night on the corner of the boulevard, man. I wasn't with that, but I ain't know you well enough to defend you, though, right? But you seem like you got true game. But beef game, man, they've been playing me all my life, man. You know, I won a title a couple of times, did right. You know what I mean? But they can't hurt us, man. We're going to do it. Get up in this ring, man. Put on these gloves. Let me show you how to handle yourself, man. You don't got nobody out there with you. I got to show you, man. Get up in here. Move that head, man. Come on to me, man. But when you come, man, you gotta come for blood, man. Come up to me, man. Come on, bust that nigga hole, man. Them niggas talking that shit about you. Hey, Mike Tyson here speaking with the Cannabis man over here. Yo, Cannabis, your main objective out here is to do nothing but eat, 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 eat. MCs for lunch, breakfast. Hey, man, they've been playing me all my life, man. You know, I won a title a couple of times, did right. But they can't hurt us, man. We're going to do it. Get up in this ring, man. Put on these gloves. Let me show you how to handle
it.
Yo,
I'ma let the world know the truth. You don't want me to shine. You study my rhyme. Then you laser vocals at the mine. That's a bitch move. Something that a homo rapper would do. So when you say that you platinum, you only dropping clues. I study your background. Read the book that you wrote. Researched your footnotes about how you used to sniff coke. Fronting like a drug-free role model. You disgust me. I know bitches that see you smoke weed recently. You walk around showing off your body cause it sells. Plus to avoid the fact that you ain't got skills. Mad at me cause I kick that shit real, niggas fail. While 99% of your fans wear high heels. From Ice-T to Kumo D to Jay-Z. Now you wanna fuck with me? You must be crazy. You dripping with whack juice and you can't get it off. You better be prepared to finish what you start, nigga.
You just hold it right there. We got an illegal road for all the fighters and the trucks. If I see one more of those, you're out of here, fella. You understand? You'll be disqualified. Stop being a bitch. We can't even see a fight.
Yo, Candace, man, you gotta hit harder than that, man. You don't want no bitch-ass niggas hanging out with me, man. We're warriors, man. When we go into battle, we come out. Don't come out at all.
Yo, you better give me the respect that I deserve. Well, I'ma take it by force. Blast you with a 45 call. Make you somersault. Shock you with a couple hundred thousand ball thunderbolts. Before you won in the war, now you wanna talk. It's about who strikes the hardest, not who strikes first. That's why I laugh when I hear that whack ass verse. That shit was the worst rhyme I ever heard in my life. Cause the greatest rapper of all time died on March 9th. God bless his soul, rest in peace, kid. It's because of him, now at least I know what beef is. It's not what I would call this. See, this is something different. A faggot nigga trying to make a living off of dissing. Somebody that he gotta know is better than him. But he feeling himself cause he got more cheddar than him. Well, let me tell you something. You might got more cash than me, but you ain't got the skills to eat a nigga's ass like me. And if you really wanna show off, we could get it on live in front of the cameras on your own sitcom. I let you kick a verse. Fuck it, I let you kick them all. I'll even wait for the studio audience to applaud. Now watch me rip the tap from your arm. Kick you in the groin. Stick you for your Vanguard award in front of your mom. Your first, second, and third born. Make your wife get on the horn. Call Minister Farrakhan so he can persuade me to squash it. I say, nah, he started it. He forgot what a hardcore artist is. A hardcore artist is a dangerous man, such as myself. Trained to run 20 miles in soft sand. On the off land. Programmed to kick hundreds of balls off land. From a lost and forgotten land. You done did it, man. You done spit it some wax shit it. And probably thought that because it's been a minute, I forget. Fuck that, cause like Common and Cube, I see the bitch in you. And I'ma make the world see you too, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new lyrical weight champion by second round knockout, 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Can I bomb?
Yo, Cannabis, man, you moving like my Tiger Kenya, man. You're in and out and you're agile with your flow, man. But dig, right? You got me, man. That's your name, Cannabis. Your whole agenda's to eat these niggas, man. They have no business to be on the same stage with you, holding a mic with you. Objective out here to do nothing but eat MCs for lunch, breakfast, dinner. That's your agenda, baby. Your agenda to consume them. Their whole existence. They can't exist in your presence. The cannabis is here to rule forever. Mike Tyson on the death.
We're just gonna have some fun with some hip hop. A little hip-hop, that's all. Just relax. Hold on to your seat. Oh yeah, this is the tunnel banger too. Hurry up, this is the tunnel banger, baby. Hip-hop style, baby. Y'all remember?
By the middle of March when the pregnancy starts and your latest was sent up, that means L just entered. Duck tits, your little bitch ass for frontin'. Your 4'11 crackhead ass ain't hurting nothing. Nigga, you want the fame, now you famous overnight. Famous for getting fucked by a stick of dynamite. You weak, nigga, you about to die up in your sleep. The overlord of rap will never meet your feet. Pain and agony, I don't touch them zones. Fuck your epileptic lyrical methods, it's my throne. Blast your 50-pound ass and make it float. You read it, shook, nigga, I wrote the book, nigga. Held down my ground for a decade and a half. Now I'm about to give your grimy ass a bloodbath. Talk about being broke, nigga, I'm rich. Cause I learned to separate the money from the bitch. Don't hate me cause I'm paid. Hate me cause I'm everything you wanna be. book you bought to read. You know you watch the sitcom, nigga, so stop that. Mad rapper, but now we turn mad actor. 49 pounds and trying to be a mobster. Running around town with the Bob Marley imposters. Ask Cannabis, he ain't understanding this. 99% of his fans don't exist. I'm going underground and blowing your rep down. Next time, say that shit for the lyricist lounge. Or a house party where you can battle some clown. On top of all that, I beat your homeless ass down. Heard that convicted rapist on the record too. Fresh out of jail, ass cheeks still black and blue. Tell me about the things ear biter taught you. How to bust another two.
Yeah, that's butterball.
You be decomposing, but you frozen because my title's rolling. Steady rolling in the world that I'm controlling. Vanguard awards are for kings who did. Platinum Mountain, the braids of the Lord. Talk about my first, the second, and third born. Now I got a fourth cannabis, but he cut off from the riches of my empire. I'm like a pimp who thought he had to retire, but found a new can of puss to hire. You're hardcore, in a sense like Heather Hunter, but definitely not with the lyrics that drop thunder. Found you in a trash can, hot black, cause you're scared to bust. Nigga, it's hard to trust. Can I bust? A nap. Make my dick hard with that bitch ass trap. Where you at? Smoking in some one room flat. Sucking on cleft dick, hoping to come back. Never that. Nigga, my size is unlimited. Yours is prohibited. Cause that's attributed to not knowing your limits and who you need to test. When you step into the house of the Lord and get blessed. Get on your knees, bow down to my degrees, young slacker. Say that demo for Jack the Rapper. Your gargoyle slash olive oil. Pussy cat, I wrapped up in aluminum for you, ready to boil. I'ma tear the skin off your ass with 10 knuckles. Rhymes so sweet, they made me chuckle like a name buckle. You call them lyrics, nigga, you need to stop. Stop. You're going out, oh fuck it, you're going pop. I feed you a poisonous verse, so don't try it. No more rhyming, you want a lyric fast diet. Call a paramedic and tell him that he's pathetic. His lyrics ain't energetic, as sweet as a diabetic. Career be over next year, yeah, I said it. Look over your shoulder, nigga, that's where you're headed. Motherfucker, where's the rhyme when you need it? First rule of lyrical war, never repeat it. You said the same bullshit at House of Blues. Lit the pipe, drop the match, and spark the wrong fuse tattoo. Yeah, nigga, I'm going at you. Stop facing, and you can be a role model too. This my mom, who's the real rap god? Who ruled for 15 years to drop bombs? Who got solid gold Grammys to stay calm? LL, when you drop verses at niggas prom. Faggot, you better battle number two. Cause number one, got a title locked down, son. The king of all rappers to ever grace the stage on the mic. Best that ever did it, I'm wicked. Write a verse and flip it, melt it down to liquid. And drown shorty, fill his lungs until I rip it. Chest bust open, heart burst and smoking. You see that nigga, son?
Damn, L, you funny joking.
Maneuver, manipulate, brain waves, transform your thought process while my pen gets caressed. Warning, all MCs better retreat. Look at corny busty, can't walk down his own street. Better run and get the food feed. Cause I eat MCs. Devour their titles, cause I'm an idol slash icon. Tell Wyclef, don't even turn this fucking mic on. Soldier nigga, thought I told you nigga. Crossover, slam dunk, game over nigga. Soldier nigga, thought I told you nigga. Crossover, slam dunk, game over nigga. Can I bust? Stay in your place. Can I bust?
That was Cannabis versus LL Cool J. Both of those songs are available on all streaming platforms. But I want y'all to email me, message me, hit me up. Let me know who y'all think won the battle. And also let me know which song y'all think was best and why. Why y'all chose the winner that y'all think won the battle. Cannabis or LL Cool J, y'all. Y'all go get those songs on all streaming platforms.
Most deaf.
Welcome to Riders Live. I'm your host, Riders. Today we have a special guest. with an extensive resume, lyricist, videographer, producer, writer, and most importantly, battle rapper MC. He goes by the name of Notion. Introduce yourself to the listeners of Riders Live and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, it seems like you did my job for me, big dog. What's going on, y'all? It's the kid Notion. I'm a battle rapper. I might do some more battles soon at some point. I'm a freestyler, songwriter, you know what I'm saying? I got some mixtapes coming soon as well. And then also my main man, he referenced my production company, Monumental LLC. I shoot films, short films. I shoot battles. I shoot commercials. Anything you could put a camera in front of.
Yeah, that's so what's up. That's what's up. So how did you switch over to the video lane?
Oh, man, that's a story right there. That's a story and a half. So check me out. I was looking to... It all started with my first music video, my first solo music video. So I was looking for a videographer to shoot a music video for me. And I had just got back to Madison, Wisconsin from Minneapolis. I spent some time out there. And so, you know, in high school, I used to battle a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like I would jump in all the cyphers that I possibly could. There was this one dude who I remembered, me and him had a really good battle, right? You know, at the time, his name was Chris Style. And so, yeah, we had a really good battle. And so forward to, I'd say, maybe 2012 or something like that. I'm walking downtown. This is probably like, within the first 2 weeks of me being back to Madison, Wisconsin and stuff, right? Because I was gone for a minute. I hear somebody yell my name. And it was like, hey, is that Notion? Now, when you a battle rapper and somebody call your name, you got two different things going through your head. You thinking, is this somebody, you know what I'm saying, who's like a fan or something like that on like a positive note? Or is this about to be a situation? You know what I'm saying? So I turn around and I see this dude with this camera and he's like got this model. And I look and the dude looks mad familiar. And I was like, Chris Style? So I guess the same dude I used to battle against in high school, he became a director. And I was telling him, I'm like, yo, this is perfect. I need somebody to shoot a music video for me. And so during the process of me and him developing a plan for my first music video, I started like studying some of the things he was doing, and I ended up falling in love with him myself.
Okay. So what's the transition like from being a battle rapper to a videographer?
Well, I mean, there's a few things that kind of correlate. You know what I'm saying? Like communication and things like that. But I say, even just being a lyricist is kind of different. Like when it comes down to film and being behind the camera instead of being in front of the camera, it's like, it's a whole different world, man. Like the creativity that you can have as an MC, all you have to do is describe stuff where, you know, you don't need words for the same kinds of things that you would put in front of the camera. Like as a director, the things that you say is based off of the things that you allow the viewer to focus on. And so it's like how you express an emotion in a film might not even have any words in it. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's better if it doesn't. You see somebody's body language switch up, or for example, if somebody looks over at something and then the next scene like kind of shows like a zoom in on like one small thing, then they never show that to you again until the end of the film. It's still in the back of your mind. You still remember it and you're thinking, why did they show us that? Until the end of the film, and then boom, it hits you. those kinds of things are like little Easter eggs. Those are like, I would equate them to like punchlines when like a lyricist is rhyming. You do a setup at the beginning, and then at the end, boom, it hits you like, oh, yeah, that's what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm. So it's priceless. So what are some of the challenges of bringing the actual song to fruition on the screen as opposed to somebody or the artist having it in their head? Is that difficult or not?
That's a great question. So a lot of the things that I've realized in doing this for some time is it's not about my vision, because, you know, I started this whole company based off of, you know, like me being inspired off of making my own stuff, right?
Right.
And so one thing that I've realized is it's more of a collaboration. So even if I'm the director, I'm the camera guy and the editor, like what's in someone else's mind, I have to cater to that and then mix that in with what I do to make something that is very unique between what I was thinking and what they were thinking. And so it's a relationship thing, because it's like a lot of communication. Like someone's perspective might be completely different than yours. And so, for example, they'll say something like, yeah, I want a dark video, just something grimy, right? And then so I'll start putting some stuff together. Then I'll hit the client back like, yo, this is what I got. And they'll be like, yo, this is too grimy, man. Like, this is way too much. And so in my mind, I'm thinking they want something hard. And in their mind, hard might not be the same thing. And so it's all about communication and perspective and perception.
Okay. So how difficult is the editing process? Walk us through it.
Now, that's a good one. So the editing process, it's so like when you're a person with a company, the whole idea is they're supposed to be an editor, a director, cameraman, a gaffer, a producer. There's like all sorts of different roles. And so none of these roles in particular are very difficult. When you have one person doing them all, though, there's advantages and there's disadvantages. And so I'd say editing, the hardest thing about editing is learning new skills while implementing those new skills. And so let's say you shoot a music video and it's got like green screen in it, right?
Right.
But you've never worked with green screen. So now you got to learn how to do green screen in the amount of time that you have your deadlines for to get all of the videos to all of the clients that you need them to. So I'd say deadlines is probably the only thing that's difficult about music video editing or editing in general.
Okay. So with the editing process, what type of timeline do you usually give for each video? To keep the continuity of the business flowing and the clients happy.
Yeah. So I try to be honest with the clients. I say it depends on the music video, because let's say I shoot a music video and it's just some guy, you know what I'm saying, like on a corner in front of a liquor store or something like that, right? And, you know, I chop up the scenes, you know, like show different aspects of what's going on in the background. It's a pretty simple video. I could probably get that back to the client within the same week almost, you know, maybe 2 weeks. But something that's more elaborate where there's like a storyline to it and, you know, it's not just me adding effects. Because then all you're doing is just waiting for the effects to render. If you have a story, then this scene can't just go anywhere. It has to specifically go in this part of the story, where it's like this next scene has to go after that. It has to end a certain way. It has to begin a certain way. there's got to be something that happens in the middle to keep the viewers going and stuff. So when there's like a narrative that is being like built into, you know, the story, it's a little more time consuming because you got all of the same things that you were doing before with the effects and everything, but it's like you have to tell the story. And with music videos that are stories, I kind of look at them as movies. And so with movies, each scene tells its own little story. And so with the way I look at it, you shoot a shot based off of what you have in your mind, but there are certain other like factors that come into play. And some of those other factors can change, you know what I'm saying, like what story is being told and even how it's told, the tone that is being taken and stuff like that. And if you're really creative, the themes that are displayed as well. And so there's like underlining things that go into that as well. But to be clear, it's something like that, like a storyline joint, I would probably say 3 weeks to a month. You know what I'm saying? That should be a good basis for something.
Okay. Does the budget of the artist help move the production of the video faster?
Absolutely. I was working with a artist who wanted to shoot a film, but he wanted it to be like a giant music video. And so, yeah, I'm thinking in my head, all right, I would love to do something like this, but that's a lot of time, that's a lot of work, that's a lot of effort. So,
and it's currently not no festivals going on where I could get some of this footage with all these people and shit. We can't get to Mardi Gras right now.
Uh-huh. So with that in mind, with like a 30-minute, you know what I'm saying, short film that's like a giant music video, that can't be just a guy standing in front of the liquor store, like I was saying. That's got to be like a multifaceted thing. And so him being the producer and a director for that specific project, it kind of opened the doors for me to kind of do what I do, because I was able to set the shots the way that they needed to be set. I was able to focus in on just how the thing was going to be shot and how I was going to like make it easier for myself to edit it later. And so the budget came into play when it came down to the producing of the music video movie. So it made it easy because I didn't have to worry about, all right, so where are we going to shoot this? He was like, all right, so already paid for this place. And then so we're going to go in here, we're going to shoot. And so once I saw the place, everything started hitting me. But once I got to think about the different locations, once I have to figure all of those things out on my own, it becomes more time consuming. I shot that movie in the span of 8 hours. That was just a shift.
Wow. So is the movie actually out, and can you tell us the name of it or no?
Oh, I can tell you the name of it. The movie, it's not out yet. We're going to be shipping that out to some different film festivals. The name of the movie is Cicada. And I'll even tell you a little bit about it. It's so the concept for the movie is, a man gets a letter in the mail, and basically it's this research company that supports Black people. They want Black people to get their reparations, but in turn, they would like to do like a little like experiment and stuff with them, basically explore Black trauma. And so he's thinking, oh, cool, I get free therapy. You know what I'm saying? I get to get this reparations and everything. So he goes in there. And so the story is kind of like the Matrix. He goes into this place that he thinks is just a regular building, has a little like quick interview. He's like doing some stuff with this machine. Then all of a sudden, he's thinking he's going to be talking with someone like a person. It's not a person at all. It's actually a program, like a machine.
AI.
Yeah, it's like AI. Okay. And so it goes from real life to virtual reality.
Wow. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see that movie. Shameless plug. Notion directed two of my videos, 10 Piece Spicy and Never Mind. They're available on YouTube and RadisOnline.net.
Check that out. They hot.
But it's all about Notion. We're going to leave his information if you want to book a video with him. And he'll try to accommodate you the best that he can with the schedule. But you got to have a budget. You got to have a budget. Okay, so let's go over into the battle rapping arena. But we're going to have a little fun first.
Let's do that.
This is a difficult question. Who's your top five MCs? And since you are battle rapping,
top five
and,
MCs.
You pay attention to lyrics and all of that, I'm going to be a little hard on you. It ain't no order. It's definitely an order, chronological, sequential. Top five MCs and why?
Okay. Well, I'll say I got even more for you than that. So, like, throughout the time of hip-hop, I've been kind of, like, looking at the MCs that came before me and the MCs that are, like, coming up in the rankings even now and stuff, right? And I compare them all by who came up with what. Like, who invented these things? Because it's, like, you can give props to the person that's, like, the Michael Jordans of the world, but you got to talk about the OJs and, you know what I'm saying, or the Juice Mans and Wilt Chamberlains and, you know what I'm saying, all of the people who came before that, because without them, there would be no Jordan or anything like that, right?
Yeah.
And so, one of my favorite MCs of all time, and I struggle with it from time to time, but I definitely got to give a lot of props and a lot of love to my main man, Grandmaster Cass, man. Grandmaster Cass. Yeah, bro. Like, he's, like, I've listened to some of his stuff, and he has punchlines that are so, you know what I'm saying, well put together and weaving that people nowadays are starting to put stuff together in that same way. And this is like, that's a long time ago that he was a name in the hip hop world, still banging, still, like, you know what I'm saying, one of the top people. So I gotta say, Grandmaster Cass, I would have to say, like, at least the number three spot. I gotta give him three. I wanna give him one, but I'm not just in the punchlines. I say, my number two spot, I would have to get at to my main man, Nas. And that's because he didn't necessarily, like, come up with any of the things that he does, like, before anyone else. But as far as the things that I've listened to Nas for, he was the first one who had that kind of effect on me. And one of the reasons is because he writes in a way that's different than other people. Like, he uses personification in some of his bars. Like, he tells, like, these small stories that'll last, like, maybe two lines, where somebody else will say, like, a punchline per se. Like, he'll tell you something that's so short, but it'll have, like, maximum impact. Like, when he was rapping about, you know what I'm saying, writing a letter to one of his homies who got locked up, right? And he was talking about this guy named Jerome. I didn't know who Jerome was, but it was a character in the story, right? Mm-hmm. But I got attached to Jerome when he talked about, you know what I'm saying, the murder of Jerome's niece. I'm like, dang.
You know what I'm saying? He does have that effect. And one of the lines of his first album, Illmatic, he says, This nigga raps with a razor, keep it under my tongue. The school dropout, I never liked this shit from day one. I was like, damn, I felt like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like instantly relatable. And it's, you know, it's something that, that can be universal. You know what I'm saying? That a lot of people can. And so that there is my number two. If I had to give a definite one, man, it's kind of difficult, man. But I can say I usually put Pac as my number one. And
hey, as long as he's in the conversation, you know. So
his stuff was, a lot of people misunderstood Pac because he was just so dynamic. Like, he had the poetry. He was telling stories just like Nas was, but like from more of a raw perspective. And you know what I'm saying? He was really like, man, he created like a whole movement just based off of who he was. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's one of those types of people who I feel like there can never be another.
I agree. Be another pop, I'm in agreement with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Pac, like he, man, he was just such a dynamic dude because he'd give you the street stuff, but he'll also come from a perspective of somebody who has like not just street intelligence, but like intelligence in general, right? And the way he would approach it is he wouldn't use big words. He intentionally used small words so everybody could understand what he was saying. But the things that he was saying were complicated. And they were complicated from a perspective of like the concepts that he was talking about, the situations, the drama involved in some of the stories that he would tell. And Joe, he was like what you would get if a storyteller put you into the story right then and there. And that's like the thing that I feel a lot of people misunderstand about hip hop is when you're an MC slash rapper or whatever, it's not just, oh, I have these bars, this is what it is. It's a life thing. Like, I am these bars. So when someone says like that's a whack song, like some people could take it because, oh, them just some whack bars. But some people, they can't take it because, no, that's my life. Like, I'm talking about my life.
I never looked at it like that. But at the same time, people always forget, oh, this person is real. This person is fake. They don't understand that it is artistry. Two, from the perspective that you're coming from, you're writing from the heart. You know what I'm saying? You're writing with what you can identify with. And a lot of listeners, they just base their perception from their lens of reality. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And even if it's real or fake, the thing is you creating art. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I don't think people should judge your art. Either you could look at it or you don't, or you could listen or you don't. Fuck you.
That's true. So I say,
sorry.
No, it's all good. No, I'm reviving, bro. I'll give you my number four and five. And my number four is Twista, bro.
Yeah. Twista. Hey, I'm not arguing with that. Shy's finest.
There are many tongue twisters. There are lots of people who can chop, right? But not all of them can chop as clearly. And one thing that I've discovered is it ain't even just how fast he goes. It's his delivery, man. Like his ability to like give you that kind of vibe while he's rapping that fast. It's just like I get a rush even when he's not even rapping all that fast. Like just, man. I love bro's style and just like how he puts together some of these lines. And a lot of people, because I've chopped before, but I'm not necessarily like a chopper per se.
Right.
A lot of guys who rhyme those like matter of fact, you a rapper too. Do you chop at all?
You know what? I'm actually working on a new album, and I do have a joint where I am chopping. Just to show people that I can do it.
I can't wait to hear that.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that, bro.
I'm displaying different styles on the album. Just because I know I could do it. It's just that other people don't know that I could do it. You know?
Yeah, bro. I'm looking forward to hearing that. With chopping, as you know, there's ways to chop that are just showing your speed. And a lot of people, they go that route because it's the easiest way to go. There's like stencils. People will look up the rhyme and dictionary. A lot of chop has to do with phonetic rhyme schemes.
Right.
And so it's stuff that literally it looks like it rhymes and it sounds like it rhymes. And it's not based off of your accent. It's not based off of your personal dialect. It's just straight up rhymes that when you say them fast, anybody can understand them, right? And so there's that. A lot of people go that route, and Twist does that, but he doesn't do stencils.
No, like he'll run not. Them. You could tell that that you could. It's like blue veins is popping out of his music. Like, I'm such a fan of Twista. It's like, even though he raps fast, I can hear every bar. I could get the message. And it's like he rapping, you know, almost as slow as I talk naturally. You understand?
He's
not just rambling shit. He actually has sustenance in his music. Shout out to T.
Substance, yeah. It's a lot of substance. Now I agree with you, bro. The sustenance and his substance and stuff. And he's got a lot of content. You know what I'm saying? Like how he goes and weaves in and out of these complex rhymes. Like, I feel like, in my opinion, he's the best lyricist when it comes down to chopping. And then my final one, man, I gotta get out of like a tie, man. I got a tie, and it's between two of my favorite lyricists, Big L.
And then, shout out. Rest in peace, Big L.
Rest in peace, Big L. You know what I'm saying? I give it to Big L because, man, I feel like he's one of the godfathers of the. Yeah, he's like the punchline. He basically took what Grandmaster Cass and Big Daddy Kane and Kumo D was doing, and he took it to the next level.
It's
and
like
I guess,
it's like he put an Easter suit on that shit.
Yeah, I call it a tuxedo, bro. For real, for real. He put like, and so it's not just the punchline, but like how he developed the idea of an MC being his own businessman. You know what I'm saying? Like, once he started flamboyant and everything, that kind of changed everything. Like, I seen people who was running with him, like Jay-Z and stuff like that, they started doing their own businesses too.
People don't understand that Jay-Z, Cameron, all of them was running with Big L. They was opening up for Big L. And another one, shout out Mike Geronimo too.
Yeah, big props to bro. And then I say it's a tie for me because Crooked Eye, I probably listen to Crooked Eye more than I listen to anybody else off the list, off the whole list, man. That dude, he's got lyrical rhyme schemes. Heard him on them tracks where people be chopping, and he chops with the best of them. He's got punchlines for days. Just like the dude is just, he's an animal, man. And yeah, bro, like he's one of the people who inspired me to do this for real. So
I really enjoy Crooked Eye's edginess. He got like a cogginess that he could bag up. Like, what? Let me do this. Let me show you what's going on right here. You know.
Yeah. My number six is Royce. Yeah, Royce is my number six, and that's only because the only thing that Crook has over Royce, in my opinion, from my list, is Crooked was the one who got me into hip-hop. Like, not hip-hop, but like rapping. Whereas like right. Royce, he was just a huge influence on me. So yeah.
That's
oh,
dope. Yeah. So let's get into the battle rapping. How did you get into it?
Man, all right, I'll tell it to you like this. I started, you know, I was listening to all sorts of different MCs, like, you know, the Crooked Eyes of the world. And, you know, I kind of like discovered Crook through, you know what I'm saying, like hearing some stuff off of this thing called The Wake Up Show. Right. And on The Wake Up Show, they had a bunch of different MCs on there. And then a lot of them, I didn't notice at the time, but a lot of them had, you know what I'm saying, a lot of their hands in battle rap. And so a few of them, as I was like doing more research and checking more of their stuff out, I started like peeping that they were battle rappers too. So I'm like, what is a battle rapper? Right. So I started looking up battles and stuff. And as soon as I seen like the first few of them, I started understanding like hip hop on a different level. Cause if you look back, battle rap has been around since the beginning of hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
It's part of the culture.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Minus the violence and dumb shit is definitely part of the culture.
Absolutely, man. Like Busy B versus you know what I'm saying, Kumo D, bro. That was insanity. That's insanity. But going back to it. So my evolution as an MC is wrapped around battle rap as well, because I learned how to freestyle by battling people. And so I walked up to, I remember like it was yesterday, I remember thinking I gotta learn how to freestyle. So I walked up in high school up to the best freestyler in the whole school, one of the best battlers, right? And I was like, I wanna battle. And the dude was like, all right, well, we could battle, man. I'm like, yo, you first. I'm about to chew you up, dog. I'm about to tear you down. I'm like talking all this stuff to him, right? Mm-hmm. So buddy was thinking like, yo, this dude, he's probably nice, right? And so he hits me with this furious 16 bars of just pain for me, right? And I'm like, I bet. And I spit one bar.
You tried.
That's all I could do. You know what I'm saying? I had like a setup and a punchline. And he was like, that's it? I'm like, yeah, that's all I got. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, then, you tried and you still doing it. If you wouldn't have quit, you wouldn't be the MC you are today.
No, check me out though. It was a part of the plan. Like I kept doing that. I kept going up to different MCs that I knew were dope and I would challenge them. But for some reason, I couldn't come up with more than a couple of bars. And then one day I got into a battle at the studio and stuff, and it just hit. Like the people at the studio, they were familiar with me enough. You know what I'm saying? We was all in a group for most of the time and stuff. And so they knew that every time I freestyled that I would only be able to come up with a couple of bars. And so the dude, this guy, you know what I'm saying? He starts dissing me and he hits with like, you know what I'm saying? Like a 20 bar verse or whatever. It was like a freestyle joint, right? And I remember thinking, I can't let this dude beat me. I remember thinking in my head, this dude is whack. This dude's garbage. I'm trying to think of stuff, right, to say. And so I'm spitting and it started to like go. Like I hit the fourth bar and then the people around me, they was looking at me like, all right, he about to either choke or he not going to finish this. Then I hit
about to have a rabbit moment. Rabbit.
Right? Right? And so at the fifth bar, they was like, wait, he's still going? And then I kept going and I'm at the eighth bar and I spit a punchline. It was like, yo, like everybody in the room was like on the edge of their seat because they were like, this is the first time they ever seen me go past like two and four bars. And by the time I got to the end, I body dude. And from that moment on, I was a battle rapper. I started battling as many people as I could. I was trying to get a name, you know what I'm saying? I was, man, freestyle battling was my favorite, though. So, yeah.
Okay. So, So since we breaking down rapping, can you give the people an example of one bar?
You say, one bar. I got a better flow. It's just like your glasses, fam. I'm a spectacle.
Facts. Okay, I like that. All right. So in a battle rapping arena, since battle rap is a sport, in sports, you prepare yourself for the game and everything like that. What form of calisthenics can you use to equip yourself for a battle? Do you practice writing all the time? Do you practice different flows? Walk us through it.
Every artist is different. So everybody has their own method and how they do things. I was talking to a battle rapper and one of the best freestylers I've ever known, right? And he told me, he was like, yeah, bro, you know what I'm saying? I don't rap when I'm alone. I'm like, what? And he was like, yeah, I don't really practice or nothing. And so it's just in his head, he raps, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Whereas like me, myself, the way I prepare, generally speaking, is I'll think, like, if I have an opponent that I'm getting ready for, I'll just think about that opponent and start coming up with like a perspective rather than bars, or rather than coming up with personals or this, that, and the thirds. I'll come up with like a perspective and a perception, like, this person is this to me. And so once I have that in my head, I already won a battle. Once I've had in my mind, like, I'm a king and this person's a jester, you know what I'm saying? Like, or jester, I'm a boss and this person's an employee. Once I have something in my mind like that, it's, I can't look at them any other way. And so for me, that's a big part. With freestyle battling, it's a little different because typically speaking, you don't know who you're going to battle. So you can't come up with that. So you have to come up, for me, it's like kind of look at it real animalistically. It's not, I don't even think of the bars. Like, there's people who think of bars ahead of time or stuff like that. I just look at the whole entire battle as a thing. Like, and I set myself up to where when I go in there, if I'm feeling like I want to battle, it's more than a battle to me. Like, I'm trying to break someone mentally. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to affect them. I'm trying to hit the crowd a certain kind of way. And I'm trying to affect myself even. When I'm rapping, it's like something else comes out of me. You know what I'm saying? And it's, I love doing it. So as far as preparation goes, I would say meditation is a really good tool because it can help you focus in one direction. And so that's a big thing right there. And you see, as far as calisthenics, we're talking about freestyling in general. If it's like a freestyle battle, just freestyle, just really have yourself on point. Because like any boxer will tell you, you know, training will help you, you know what I'm saying, in the ring. But you got to have heart in there too. So training is not going to do everything for you. You know what I'm saying? You got to have that instinct to do what you need to do. And so, do you need to train to win a fight in the streets? No, you don't. So it's the instincts and it's the training. But yeah.
Okay. I only have a few more questions for you. Okay. In hip hop, what rappers do you think can transition over to the battle rap arena and actually make noise or do damage? We ain't gonna talk about Cassidy.
Okay. That's hilarious. I caught that. Like, it's kind of a different thing. Like, I think that it depends on that rapper in specifics. Like, I could say, because like, for example, Crooked Eye, he has a battle coming up. You know what I'm saying? Do I think that he's gonna transition well? I don't know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he's one of the most feared MCs, you know what I'm saying, in the game. So, like, Eminem, he used to battle rap back in the day.
Could he transition?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Oh yeah. Not only Juice, but he lost to Rhyme Fest too.
Oh, okay.
To Chicago MC. But
shout out Juice. I did a show with him at the Dark Room when it was open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, Juice is dope, man. He ended up being a judge for one of my battles. So yeah. I say
real cool dude.
Real cool dude. Legendary freestyler right there, man. Yeah. And so the way I see it is this, like, it depends on how weaved into the culture that rapper is, because, you know, you can't just, because, like, there's so many different elements in hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? Like, you make a good song, that's one thing, but you make a song that's good, that has lyrics and bars and all that stuff in it, that's another thing. But you take that song, that track away, and you just got your voice. Now you have to use that as your instrument. That's one point. And then you have your body language. That's another point. You have your image and the angle that you're coming from as an artist. Just like how I was saying before, like, a lot of people don't understand the idea that in hip hop, the storyteller isn't just somebody telling a story. They're bringing you into their story. So now you're kind of a part of it. Like, they are in their own story. And so the same thing with battle rap. It's like there's a lot of narratives that are painting. Like, people think that a battle is just two rappers rapping against each other. No, it's promo. It's literally like they do interviews beforehand. They jump on live and they talk about their opponents. It's so much
set up. They Don King this shit up.
Mm-hmm. And so as far as like big time rappers, I'm not sure who could do it, man. For real.
I probably think maybe the late great DMX probably could do it.
It's all right, so I put it like this. In today's world of battle rap, I'm not sure who could just come into this.
Right. Okay, let me ask
you. About 10 years ago, DMX would have lit anybody up.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. I don't really watch battle rap, but I think Arsenal is a dog.
Monster.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if he the top dog. I don't know how to battle rap. Echelon go, is it rankings?
I tell you, they got systems and tiers like Mount Rushmores and stuff like that for like legendary cats, but there are like the top dogs and stuff. And for example, right now, Sue Surf, he looks like he's the biggest name in battle rap right now. Like, everybody, they want to go at him. People have battles where he's not even there. People are talking about him like they're battling somebody else and they talking about him. So it's like, that's how you know somebody hot, is when their name is mentioned in a situation they have nothing to do with.
So they catfishing niggas in the damn. They catfishing niggas on the promotion side.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like how 50 Cent used to do with, you know what I'm saying, How to Rob, where he was just rapping about all of those different people.
Mm-hmm.
To promote himself. That's what a lot of people in battle rap be doing. But yeah, really it's based off of your performances. Like, somebody could come off the street and get a name in a very short amount of time if they knew enough about how battles work and they knew enough about how promotion works. The thing is, keeping a name in battle rap comes from just the ability to know which battles to do and which battles to say no to, how much time to spend away. Because some people will battle every other week, maybe twice, three times a month. Sometimes they'll have like 10 battles in a year. A lot of the guys whose names get bigger in a shorter amount of time, they'll have a really good battle and then they'll sit down for like 3 months, then have another really good battle. And then sit down for another 3-4 months.
You gotta watch the climate.
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta pick and choose, because your brand is at stake at any moment, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the whole thing.
So tell the people what you got coming up after I say these things. the first joint we did together is the Posse Cut, like the Go Hard or Go Home. Thanks for that. I think that shit a classic.
Definitely.
Then second, on my Henny Hunt EP, Bars.
Yeah.
That was a classic.
Yes, sir.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Then Kings off my latest joint, Riders. Notion, he killed Kings, you know. I didn't want to go after him, but I didn't have no other choice.
This man over here, dog. You killed Kings too, bro. I loved your verse, man.
That's all good. So tell the listeners of Riders Live where they can find you and what you got coming up next. What you got coming up, and then plug your social media.
Absolutely. So what I got coming up next, I've been working on a project for years now. I'm thinking it's about that time to start working on the promo for that and actually getting that out by like maybe the end of the year or something like that. It's called Onslaught. And this kind of album.
Y'all be on the lookout for that.
Mm-hmm. I got that. But before I drop that, I'm going to be dropping a slew of different like lyrical mixtapes and stuff. I got a mixtape series called Lyrical Fire. You know what I'm saying? 1 and 2 are already out. You can catch that at soundcloud.com/notion1. And them joints is on fire right there. But I got a third version that I'm about to come up with. I'm saying give me about 2 months. I'm thinking about dropping that. It's going to have some surprising collabos, and I'm going to take my pen places that it's never been.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You can catch me on soundcloud.com at, Notion1. You can catch me on YouTube at YouTube/Notion. I got music on Bandcamp, so that'd be Bandcamp.notion.com. I got stuff on Reverb Nation as well. The stuff I got on Reverb Nation is kind of rare, so might want to check that out too.
Okay, I got a question. Do you plan on having vinyl?
Vinyl. Now that I'm probably going to do for something like that album Onslaught, because that's something special. I want to put a vinyl together for something like that, definitely. I'm also working on dropping something early next year. I'm not going to tell y'all the name until it's time to promote, but that one definitely deserves a vinyl.
Will it be visuals with the project?
All of my projects are going to have visuals. Even the mixtape stuff, I'm thinking about, you know, getting into like mixtape movies and stuff like that, where like from the beginning to the end of the mixtape, it's like a whole, you know what I'm saying? Like
cinematic experience.
Oh yeah. That's what I'm working on.
Okay. And yeah. We're going to do something different today since you're a special guest, at least to me, you are. If you could take one thing to make the world better, what would it be? One thing to make the world better for everybody or to the people who you think deserve it. What would that thing be?
I would say,
you could add or take away.
I would say, now it's one thing. Is there any limits to this one thing?
No limit.
I'd make it so that everybody that is, you know what I'm saying, everybody that is born could decide their reality and have their own reality be their own personal reality. Because then if a person, once they like understand how the world works, they could create their own personal world rather than living in somebody else's situation or having to follow the laws or rules of someone else's society. Make your own.
That's what's up. You heard Notion. Beat to your own drum. And that's it today on Riders Live. Thank you for coming through. We out.
All right, then. One of them up.